seven evil spirits, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. The one that we're zeroing in on is the one that is very important to Christians. They all are. They all are, because it has to do with vision and bigness and being what God wants you to be. And it's Perizzites. We looked at Genesis 13, 7, where there's an argument between Abraham, herdsman, and Lot's herdsman, and the conflict was there. Abram means exalted father. Lot means covering. And Abraham grew up spiritually, and Lot didn't. We looked also at some passages. I'm just going to give you the insight, the references to catch up where we were. In John chapter 14, verse 12, talks about some of those areas that talks about, believe on me, the works that I do, you shall do also. I talked about if you believe on him, you should be operating under the presence of God in your life. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 8 and 9, we looked at where Abraham and Lot, because there's Abraham didn't want any strife, they separated and went to the left and went to the right. Abraham wanted to have maturity. Lot was a wonderful illustration of a crippled believer. And then one of our main characters of the study was the son of Jonathan, who fell out of the nurse's arms and fractured his feet very severely, broken leg or something, and he was hindered the rest of his life. Again, this spirit wants to bring in smallness, wants smallness in the life of a believer. They want the believer to be crippled. They want the believer to walk with crippled spirits, crippled activity. And that's what happens. And these spirits will interfere with a person's maturity and make them crippled and shameful and being put to shame, shied to pieces. And it wants to create a small village in your life. That's what the word means. Create small village. Keep small. We looked at that. And another scripture we dealt with, again, we're trying to review here, it is Matthew 13, verse 54. Matthew 13, 54. And it talks about that Jesus could not do many mighty works. Why? Because the people did not believe. Is this the carpenter's son? Or his mother's with us? His brothers and sisters are here. So you're a big nothing, because we know who you are. And the word says, and it's so sad where it does, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That was Matthew 13, 58. Such a shame when that happens, when God wants to do something big in your life, but unbelief and these spirits will interfere with that. And then in John chapter 7, verse 45, we talk about the priests, and this is a really interesting passage. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees and said to them, why have ye not brought him? All right, why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. And then the Pharisees, are you also being deceived? Then it says, have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? See what's happening? See what's happening? Smallness. Smallness. That's a combination of the Amorite, Jebusite, which brings authority, shamed, and smallness. See, Jebusites, and we talked about all these spirits working together, provoke spiritual lameness, judgment, human rule. That's the Jebusites, incapable of believing. It's like the man sitting at the gate beautiful, the door of grace, miss God, what God had for them. What God had for them. And then in Matthew 18, Jesus speaking, and they're involved with a little child to him. And then Jesus said, unless you're converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And it talks about humility. Humility. And then it says, if you offend the least of these, a millstone. And the Jebusites operate with shame on you. And this spirit, because of the Jebusites working, and you see this in reality all the time. You see it. Well, you'll never do. You'll never be. You'll never be this. You'll never be that. Now, in verse number 10 of Amos chapter 2, this is where I got to yesterday. All right? And I'll look at this one pretty thoroughly. God speaking, also I brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. See, that's why the trouble in Israel now, right there, the land of the Amorite. Well, who are they? That was a culture, a group of people that lived in Israel as we know it. So God said, I brought you out to possess the land of the Amorite. And the Amorite's been fighting Israel ever since. That spirit has. Now listen to what else happens here. And I raised up of your sons for prophets and your young men for Nazarenes. It is not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord. Look at this. But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and commanded the prophets, don't prophesy. See what's going on? The land that God has given is under siege. Under siege. And basically, the Jebusite spirit says, shut up. And the Canaanite spirit says, give wine. So the Canaanite spirit and the Jebusite spirit work together against Israel. Still are. Then 13. Behold, I am pressed unto you as a cart is pressed that is full of cheese. That I'm pressed unto you. You are being opposed. And what's happened is that these spirits will break you, and that's what's going on. These spirits will break you. That's why Christians act the way they do. That's why the pressure's on them the way they feel that pressure is because they're being pushed from every side. I heard Christians say not long ago, well, if it isn't one thing, it's another. That's the spirits in operation. Well, time I get finished with that, something else happens. And when something else happens, gets finished, another thing happens. That's these spirits working in conjunction to destroy you. Now let's go to John chapter 5, okay? Verse 1-9, okay? We're kind of catching up here. All right, let's see how well we do. John chapter 5, verse 1. And this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. All right, that's what he did. He would be right now, he would be in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles, which ends on Saturday. He would be there. Now, verse 2. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five horses. Bethesda means house of mercy. It means shame reproved, done away with. Now look at this. This is such an interesting passage of scripture. You can spend weeks on this and not get it all done. Believe me. Now, it's called Bethesda, it's called House of Mercy. But what was going on is that it was loaded with, verse 3, a great multitude of impotent folks. Where are they? They're blind, they're halt, they're withered, waiting on the moving of the water. Notice what's going on. They're blind, they don't see, okay? Halt, which means they can't walk. Withered, which means exactly that. So here's these groups. Now look at this. Great multitude. They're by a pool of mercy. It's there. See, what happened there, it's a battle camp for spiritual soldiers. It's a soul hospital. And what's there? Weak people. They would take the sick, and they would take them there, and they would dump them. And they'd wait for God, verse 4, to send an angel that would move the water. Okay? So here we are. By the pool of mercy, there's those under the spirit of this evil spirit. They'd wait for something to happen, and whoever fell, thrown, leaped, whatever, rolled in the water would be healed, the first one. So here they are. They're waiting on God. Now, by that pool with the others, in verse 5, there's a man with an infirmity. What's an infirmity? Infirmity is not a sickness. No. Infirmity is not a sickness. You getting a cold is not an infirmity. You getting the flu is not an infirmity. Infirmities are directly the result of demon activity in a person's life. That's the attack. Because you can read in Jesus' ministry, he healed all those that were sick. That's the cold, that's the flu, you know, that's the croup. And those that were infirmed. And if you go on, you read the same word about infirmity being linked with the powers of evil. So here's a man, he's been there 38 years. That's the time of wandering that Israel had after it would not believe God. There you go. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 14 and 16. All right? Look at this. Look at this. Deuteronomy 2, 14 through 16. Now rise up, said I, and get ye over the brook of Zered. And we went over the brook Zered. 14. And the space in which we came from, Kadesh Barnea, unto where we come over the brook Zered, was how long? 38 years. Incident, coincidental? No. Until all that generation of men of war were wasted out from among the host, and the Lord swore unto them. Or they all died. They all died. 38 years. Look at that in Deuteronomy 2. Deuteronomy 2. Amazing. Incredible. 15, for indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the hosts until they were consumed. Wow. 16, so it came to pass when all the men of war were consumed and dead among all the people. You see what's going on? 38 years. Where were they? Where were they? 14. They came over the brook. 38 years. Wasted away. Lost. There's a man sitting, laying actually, by the pool of Bethesda. How long has he been there? 38 years. He was by the water. They were by the water. Not accidental. And here's an insight. The man by Bethesda was waiting and depending upon man, a person had to get him there. Both are depending upon man, not God. That's right. That's right. That's right. I have no man to put me in the pool. I'm depending upon a person, not God. And these spirits will get you to beginning to depend upon mankind and not God. They'll get your eyes off of what God can do and on the arm of the flesh. That's what happens. That's what goes on. Now in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man and make the arm his flesh's arm and whose heart departed from the Lord. Depend upon man, not God. See, don't wander the desert till you die. The man at the pool was waiting for something extraordinary to occur. And what happens? Jesus shows up. Hello. And he goes directly to that man. What do you want? Oh, I don't have anybody to throw me in the pool. I don't have anybody to pick me up here. I've been here all these years and all my friends are now gone. And they're not hanging around all day with me. They got families to take care of. They got work to be done. Can't just hang out here. And when the water moves, there's nobody around me. So I've been basically forgotten. They throw somebody else that hasn't been here as long. And his friends are, and his family are not fed up with just waiting on him. And he's speaking to Jesus. He's speaking to the one that changes everything. But this spirit has got him tied up in littleness, smallness, shamed. Matthew 19, verse 13, 15. Then they were brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. Notice, and the disciples rebuked them. Were they rebuking the little children or the parents of the little children? And Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid hands on them and departed. See, smallness. Keep you small. Keep you close. Don't do anything different. Look at Matthew 18, verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven there are angels to always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. You see? Shame, lawlessness. That's what happens. The spirit just keeps people under. Just keeps people under all the time. Just keep them under. Keep them under control. We don't want this thing to get too big now. We don't want this church to prosper too much now. We don't want this ministry to flourish now. We want us four no more now. No outreach now. No nowhere now. That's this spirit. And it's destroying Christians every day. Don't let it destroy you.